say in Ephesians one last time, a letter that I said last time is split right down the middle. Right down the middle. The first half is how awesome our God is and what He has done for us through His Son Jesus. One of the things the Apostle Paul does so well is that he never lets us forget where we've been. He never lets us forget who we were before we came to Christ. He wants us to know the bad news. He wants us to remember the bad news. He wants us to remember that we were dead in our trespasses and sin. He wants us to remember that we were once Gentiles in the flesh. We were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise. He wants us to remember that we had no hope, that we were without God in the world. That sounds like bad news, doesn't it? That's a lot of bad news. But He never leaves us there, does He? That's what's so awesome about the letters that Paul writes. He gives us two words that should make us tear up every time we think about them. When we remember the bad news, He doesn't stop and leave us there. He says, but God. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. See, beloved, we were once all those things. But not anymore. God has a different plan for those who love His Son. We don't live our lives like Gentiles do anymore. We need to remember this idea this morning, because it will have a huge impact on our life, on those around us. But ultimately, it has an impact of how the world sees Christ's church. Sometimes we need to step away from just ourselves, don't we? And we need to think about who we represent, what kingdom we're placed in. See, we were formerly known as those things. And one thing that should jump out of the text this morning is that we're not those things anymore. We're not those things when we're in Christ Jesus. That isn't us. So there's 2 points this morning. There's 2 points for the sermon. And it's, don't live like unbelievers. I'm going to turn my mic off. I could use the one that's over here. So I'll be good. Okay. Just put it in the pocket. Yeah. I could be pretty loud. I work with students all day, so. Okay, so where were we? Okay, 2 points this morning. First one, don't live like unbelievers. And the second is live what you've learned. Because, beloved, we think that we're living the Christian life. But sadly, sometimes we're still living in the past. Sadly, sometimes we live like the world and we don't realize it. But now it's time to live out our new identity in Christ. And starting at verse 17, Paul tells us, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord." So everything that's gone before this point, he's really getting ready to let us have it in a good way. It's been building. He's so serious at this point. He says, "I testify in the Lord." He's using his apostolic authority right now to make us listen, to stop what we're doing. Wait, Paul, really? You're going to testify in the Lord here? Yes. Listen to what he says. We will not be able to go any further until we make a decision about the life we want to live. And what does he say? He says that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind. You're like, that doesn't sound like a big decision. I think we do that all the time. But really, that's the calling of the life we live in Christ. Paul is reminding us of what we formerly were, and that's not us anymore. And this isn't the first time that Paul has used this term, this idea of walking, called. It's a theme he used throughout his letters. In the letter to the Ephesians in chapter 2, this is what he writes to them. "And you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin, who once walked according to the courses of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience." That's the way we once lived. But he doesn't leave us there. I said that before. Now he tells us, you're a new creation in Christ. Chapter 2, verse 10, he says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And if you remember 2 weeks ago, the last time I was preaching, Paul beseeched us, he urged us to live this life, to live this calling. Remember, he wrote, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received." But it's tough, isn't it? In the world we live in today, with so much pressure from the outside to be like the world, it's tough. But it's what we need to do. It's what really the Christian life is all about. Living a life worthy of being called a Christian. And as we partake of the Lord's Supper this morning, it's one of the benefits of this life that we could partake in a meal with Jesus. Be spiritually fed for our journey here. We no longer walk as Gentiles do, because we're no longer Gentiles. You see, before Christ, there was two type of peoples in the world. There was Jews, the covenant people, and then there was everybody else. And they lumped them all into one sum, the nations, the Gentiles. But it's no longer the fact anymore, is it? There's still Jews. There's still Gentiles. But now there's the church. It's the new creation. It's the kingdom being pushed forth now. The church. And if you're in the church, whether Jew or Gentile, you're one people with God. There's no more wall of separation, Paul says. No, we've come together in Christ. That wall's been torn down. And you're commanded now not to live like an unbeliever. See, Paul's hammering this down for them. Think first century Ephesus, just like first century Thessalonians when we were there earlier when I was preaching through it. They needed to break away from their former lives, didn't they? They needed to break away from that sinful life that they lived. It wasn't an option. And the one thing I'm not saying is that you need to live this life before you come to Christ. If there's anybody sitting out there that is not a Christian, don't think you have to change your life before you come to Jesus. That's not how it is. You know, there's an illustration that a fisherman once said. He said that you don't clean the fish until you catch them. You don't get all gutted up before you come into the boat. Right? You don't get cleaned before you come to Christ. Christ, by His Spirit, will clean you when you come to Him. But if you are in Christ, don't live like an unbeliever. Notice how I didn't say, don't be a sinner. Because guess what? We're all going to sin. We just are. As long as we're on this side of glory, we're going to struggle with sin. But we don't want to continually live our lives in that sin, do we? We want to continually be growing by the Spirit, growing to be more like Jesus. You might be thinking, slow down, Pastor Ogle. We know this. This is old news to us. You see, I know this is old news. But we need to remember the truth. Because in this world, we'll forget. Our attention's going 500 million ways all the time. And if we don't just stop and know the truth and think about it and meditate on it, we'll slowly just fall back into the world. Think about us today. We live in a culture that's so much like the first century, it's getting scary. The surroundings are changing by the minute, aren't they? If you would think to yourself 30 years ago, 40 years ago, we wouldn't be having the conversations we're having about Christianity in North America. We just wouldn't. But we are. See, we're starting to live in a hostile culture to Christianity. Just like the first century church. We live in a culture that can't stand our values. They can't stand the Jesus of the Scripture, can they? You know, they love the Jesus of pop culture. The world loves a Jesus that tells you to love everybody. Just wants everybody to do their best. Oh yeah, that Jesus, that's a good Jesus. The great moral teacher. You should follow that Jesus. But they can't stand the Jesus who says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by me. They hate that Jesus. They want nothing to do with that Jesus. Now we live our life different. And we're going to be pressured more and more to like the Jesus of the world and not the Jesus of Scripture. But we need to hold on what Paul is telling us this morning. At the end of verse 17, he says that the world, the Gentiles, live in the futility of their minds. The futility of thinking. Meaning that they think different, don't they? They look and see what's going on in the world, and they process it different than those who are in Christ Jesus. We continue reading verse 18. Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Because of the blindness of their hearts. You see, three things stand out there. The first is, the Apostle Paul is giving us a summary of what he gave the Romans in chapter 1. Right. So when Paul's writing these letters to all these places in the first century, he's telling them the same things, really. That you have to be different now. You know, Paul writes to the Romans this. He says, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking. Same thing he told the Ephesians. And the foolishness of their hearts were darkened. See, Paul's telling both groups this because he knows the struggle they're going to face of leaving the world. The ungenerated heart is darkened. That word futility is just meaninglessness, uselessness, worthlessness, emptiness. And that's how they live. One pastor writes, the Gentile way of life is meaningless because the Gentiles have no light to guide them. They're intellectually blacked out. The next thing that stands out is they're alienated from the life of God. These people are still without God. They don't have a hope. And Paul tells them it's because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. It's something that they do to themselves, isn't it? They can't see the world through the eyes of someone that's been redeemed. They don't see the wrongs that we can see being on this side of the cross. No matter how hard they try, no matter how hard we try to let them know these things, don't we? We can discuss these things till we're blue in the face and some people just won't understand. Think about abortion. It breaks our heart just thinking about it. But you can show someone who believes abortion's okay. You can show someone pictures of babies in the womb. And they can't tell that it's murder. You're like, look, it's a baby. But they can't see. Their eyes are darkened. And Paul continues to tell us why. In verse 19, he says, those who are being past feeling past feeling. The word Paul uses there, it means you're callous to feeling. You're dead to it. You can't feel anymore at all. But you know what? Scripture told us the world was going to be this way. And it didn't tell us this in the New Testament. It told us this all the way back in the Old Testament. Listen to this. This is from Isaiah. Woe to those who draw iniquity with cords of falsehood, who draw sin as with cart ropes. It's talking about parading sin. Further in the chapter, Isaiah writes, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and shrewd in their own sight. I think every word I just said right there reminds me of today, doesn't it? That's the world today. Calling evil good and good evil. But we jump back to Ephesians. Paul tells us that they give themselves over to lewdness, to works of uncleanness and greediness. So that they lose the ability to feel shame and embarrassment. They give themselves up to just terrible sin. They can't help it. It becomes a habit. They make a practice of the lifestyle that's in the world. And what's crazy is Paul tells us that they do this with greediness. Like they're never satisfied. They just want more and more sin. The letters of the Romans, Paul tells them the same thing, doesn't he? Paul says this to the Romans, therefore God gave them up in the lust of their hearts to impurity, to the dishonoring of their bodies among themselves, because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator. For this reason, God gave them up to dishonorable passions. And since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind, to do what ought not to be done. See, there's a difference between Romans and Ephesians. Did you catch it? In Romans, God gave them up to this. But in Ephesians, it says they gave themselves up to this. So which is it? Which one is it? Did God do it or did we do it? Well, we can find the same thing happening in Exodus to Pharaoh. In Exodus chapter 4, this is what is written. The Lord said to Moses, when you go back to Egypt, see that you do before Pharaoh all the miracles that I put in your power. But I will harden his heart so that he will not let the people go. And then just a few verses later, it says this. But when Pharaoh saw that there was a respite, he hardened his own heart and would not listen to them, as the Lord had said. You see, what's happening here is this self-judgment, but it's also divine judgment. It's the same coin. When you live in the world, you get a coin. And on one side is self-judgment. You love it. You're just greedy for it. But on the other side, it's divine judgment. It's always there. It's the plight of the world. And what Paul is telling us this morning, beloved, is don't live that way. Just don't. Live worthy of the calling you've been called. You were formerly known as those things, but you're not anymore. You know, we read through this section in Ephesians so fast, you just miss these things. Paul said you should no longer walk as the Gentiles walk. Don't do it. You may think, well, this way isn't that bad. But it is. Take that step back and look at Christ's church. See the effect it's having on His church. And that's why Paul says in our second point, he says, live what you've learned. When Paul went into these churches, he taught them, you step out of your old life and you step into this new life with Jesus. So verse 20 says, "For you have not so learned Christ." The Apostle Paul now, he's contrasting lives. The life of the world and the life of the Christian. And that's a hard translation to read. But it could be said, "You, however, did not come to know Christ that way." One thing I love about that verse is the word "about" isn't in it. We just didn't learn about Christ. So the world learns about Christ. No, we learned Christ. We learned Him. One pastor wrote this: "This does not mean merely to learn His doctrines, but to attain the knowledge of Christ as the Son of God. God in our nature, the Holy One of God, the Savior from sin, whom to know is holiness and life." That's what we know. We know Christ. And verse 21 might be a little confusing as well. "If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him as the truth in Jesus," you're like, wait a second, Paul taught here. Of course they heard Him. Of course they knew this. Paul is so confident here. It's like he was saying, "You most surely have learned and been taught this." They've heard Christ. They were taught by Him. Think about that. When you learn Christ, is it Jesus teaching you? When you read Scripture, is it Jesus teaching you? Are we taught by Him? See, what we learn the truth about the death and resurrection of Christ. That's the only way to Him. Jesus says this to His disciples: "If you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Who's the truth there? Jesus is. You know Him. And what do we do with that knowledge? What do we do with what we've learned? If we've learned Christ, what do we do with it? Well, Paul continues to tell us this in verse 22. "That we put off concerning our former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lust. And we're renewed in the spirit of our minds." Think of that. How awesome is that? To know your mind is being renewed day by day. You're taking off the old corrupt man. And that's a lifelong thing. That's not something you just do right away. You're like, "I'm a Christian. I got this. I got my new garment on. Let's go." No. It's a daily struggle. You're putting off that old man. Because one thing that gets across as you read Scripture is you can't fix the old man. You can't fix it. He's dead. You got to get rid of it. You got to take him off. You can't improve him. You can't reform him. You just got to get rid of that old man. Paul writes in verse 22 that the old man grows corrupt. The old man is not who we are. And if you just want to keep a little bit of that old man, that's a bad thing. No, you got to get rid of all of it. The old lifestyle is the life of the world. Next, Paul tells us to be renewed in our minds. Remember what I said earlier about how the world thinks? Their minds are darkened. They can't see the truth. They could be looking at the truth right in their face and they just can't see it. Our minds are being renewed day by day. And we've all heard Romans 12, haven't we? "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds." You might be thinking, "All right, Pastor, tell me how. How does my mind be transformed?" Well, from what you're doing right now. You're sitting in church. You're hearing the word preached. You're going to partake in the Lord's Supper. Those things renew our minds. Now, being in fellowship with other believers, having somebody to keep you accountable when the world does try to grab you and pull you back. Those things make us think different. No, blessed is the man who hungers and thirsts for righteousness. That's not a passive thing. And finally, Paul tells us to put on the new man. Verse 24, the last verse of our text. And that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. The new man, the new creation. The new man who not only flees from sin, but pursues righteousness and holiness. You see the difference? Than being passive and just, it'll come to me. I'm a Christian. I know I'll grow. No, pursue it. Hunger and thirst for it. You know, this morning we're going to come to the table. And this is a believer's meal. It's not a meal for the world. The world doesn't get to share with Christ a meal. But we do. Because we've put off that old self. We're not walking like the world is anymore. We don't think about the way the world thinks anymore. We think our minds are being renewed. And my prayer is as you partake in this meal, remember the significance of it. You really are dining with Christ Himself. Live what you learned, beloved. The reality is, if you're in Christ, you're a new creation. How awesome is that to take that out of here and go into the world with that on your mind? You're a new creation. Your minds have been renewed. You've put on the new self. Does that mean we're going to do it perfectly? Of course not. But we're striving to be like Jesus. We're striving and hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Live a life worthy of that calling, beloved. It's yours in Christ. Let us pray. Father God, we come before you and we hear hard words. The world is a rough place. But we know that you've won the day for us. That if we're in you, we're clothed in your righteousness. We've put off that old man and put on the new. Help us remember that, Lord, as we go throughout our days. As we go throughout this world where it's just trying to beat us down. To know that you're with us. You've given us a calling. To live like you. To share you. To tell others of what you've done. Oh, Lord. What a blessing it is to be a Christian. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.